الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders and brothers, insan has many, many needs and necessities of life, but the greatest need and necessity of any human being is the need and necessity of hidayat, of guidance, to be rightly guided. And Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they understood this. Therefore you'll find the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, their all out effort was to bring people towards hidayat and towards guidance. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from amongst the qualities and amongst the description which is given regarding him, Sahaba Ikram says, Mutawasilul Ahzan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to constantly be grieved. His grief was not for dunya. His grief was not for loss of wealth, for loss of property, etc. His constant grief was not because of the loss of his beloved ones, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost in his lifetime also. His wife Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed away. His daughter Hazrat Ruqayya, Hazrat Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala anhun, and also his son Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away. Yes, at that moment in time he was grieved about that. But mutawasilul ahzan, being constantly in grief, was because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a concern for the hidayat of mankind. He was grieved at the situation he found the people in. He found them to be away from hidayat, away from the greatest need and the greatest necessity of theirs, the greatest necessity of life. Many a times you will find, sometimes you'll find a picture or an article regarding somebody suffering from hunger and thirst in another part of the world, and you'll see a person in a skeleton state, and how it grieves us when we see that we are eating three meals a day or much more than that also. And these people don't even have a meal in so many days, and they've gone so thin. It just grieves us. A person with some feelings, with a heart, you know, will feel grieved at it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more grieved at the situation of the people being far away from hidayat than what we are when we look at these pictures or when we look at somebody who is in this condition and this state. Therefore they explain and they say, mutawasilul ahzan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be grieved at the condition of the people being far away from hidayat, far away from the straight path and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping idols and worshipping things that is not supposed to be worshipped, following their desires and bowing down to something which cannot benefit and something which cannot even harm. Mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikra. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly in a worry, with a concern, One is he was grieving at the condition. The other is he was making fikr, soch, worrying, planning how to go about bringing people towards hidayat. How to bring people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore he was da'im al-fikr. Mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikr. Constantly working as to how to bring people towards Allah. Bring them towards the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he even complained to his uncle Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, what is it? Why are you not taking me to go and visit the different clans that are coming in Mina? Once he even said to him that, come with me, take me. You know those people. Because he had dealings with those people that used to come in that zamana in Ayyam al-Jahr. Hiliya, they used to come for Hajj. Although that Hajj was performed in their own ways. But they used to come for Hajj. They used to camp at the different places in Mina. They used to have like a fair and they used to trade with one another. And his uncle had contact with them. So he's complaining to him, why are you not taking me to them? Let's go, let's go. And he used to go with him, visiting from camp to camp, giving da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So da'im al-fikra. Da'im al-fikra, continuously making fikr. Continuously having this worry and concern, how can mankind be saved from the fire of Jahannam and can enter into Jannah? Come onto the tartib of hidayat. What is hidayat? Basically, hidayat is that a person lives a life which is in conformity to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the tariqah of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereby gain success of both this world, dunya and akhirah. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they understood that dunya is temporary. Akhirat is eternal. Person can go through whatever difficulties of this world. No food, no clothes, no clothing, no shelter. But eventually, he's going to leave this world. 70, 80 years, 100 years, how much more you will suffer, perhaps go through some difficulty. But if you left this world with iman and with hidayat, then your akhirat is made. But if a person leaves this dunya without hidayat, he could have had the best of this world, his eternal life is spoiled. Anbiya understood this. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was da'im al-fikr, constantly worrying how to bring people towards this hidayat. Although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was plainly explained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said it to him very clear terms, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi may yasha. Allah said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very plainly, very clearly, that you can't give hidayah to anybody. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi may yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give hidayah to whomsoever he wishes. But did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rest? No. لَيْسَ لَهُ raha. The hadith says, متواصل الأحزان دائم الفكرة لَيْسَ لَهُ raha. He never rested. He never laid down after when he got the first wahi and revelation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to his wife, Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, لَيْسَ raha بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. La rahata ba'd al-yawm. There is no resting and there's no relaxing after this day. Now relaxing will be in Jannat. From now till I leave this world, I have a fikr, I have a worry, and I have an effort that has to be made and bring people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring them towards hidayat. Therefore, the description is mutawasil al-ahzam da'im al-fikra laysa lahu raha. Tawil as-samt. For lengthy periods of time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be silent. Soch, fikr, how to bring mankind towards hidayat? How to bring people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What effort can he make so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can blow the winds of hidayat? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such concern for individuals, for groups, for communities. One sahabi, Hazrat Miqdad bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once in one of the battles, he happened to capture a person by the name of Hakam bin Qaisan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He happened to capture him. The leader of the army decided to execute him. But Miqdad ibn Amr convinced him that, wait, don't execute him. Let's give him a chance. Let's take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let's see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided with regard to him. He was an enemy. He made all out effort against Islam. So they take him to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He managed to convince the leader of the army, the commander of the army. They take him to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes him sit in front of him and starts to give him da'wah towards Islam. Explaining to him about Islam, explaining to him about the greatness of Allah, explaining, and time is going. Sahaba are sitting there. Some of them mentioned that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't want to listen. Why are you wasting your time? Not waste, what? Why are you persisting? This person doesn't want to listen. Let us take off his head and send him straight to Jahannam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignored that suggestion. Ignored that suggestion, and he continued giving da'wah, continued. Until eventually, Hakam bin Kaysan radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepts deen Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that at that time I was, like scolding myself. Why did I even suggest that we should put an end to him? Here this person accepted Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba and said, you see, had I listened to you, he would have been gone into Jahannam. Now he's a Jannati. Not only that, he was one of the persons that were martyred in Bir-e-Ma'una. He was the one that took part in that expedition, and he became Shaheed. Not only is he a Jannati, he is a Shaheed also. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a concern that people must come onto deen. Whenever a Jamaat was sent out to any area, any locality, an army was sent out, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them specific instructions. Abdul Rahman bin Aid radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates this, and he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give specific instructions that don't ever engage in war until and unless you have invited them to Deen Islam. I would love you to bring an entire delegation as Muslims to me, rather than you bringing their women and children as captives and slaves to me. In those days, captives and slaves were a valuable asset. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we don't want these things. What we want is people must come onto hidayat. They must bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People must come onto deen. Each and every person, each and every ummati of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam must go into Jannat. This must be the worry and the fikr and the concern. In one hadith it is mentioned, in one narration, that one Jamaat was sent to a locality where the main idols, Lat and Uzza, stood. Where the main idols, Lat and Uzza, used to be. So they went to that area. So we can imagine what kufr and shirk was in that area. What kufr and shirk must have been in that area. Because the main idols, Lat and Uzza, were stationed in that area. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent this Jamaat. They happened to go there. Whatever happened, they managed to capture an entire group of these soldiers and warriors from that area, and they brought them to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, "Did you invite them to Islam? Did you give them da'wah to Islam first?" So they said, "Ya Rasulullah, we never gave them da'wah. The war just started, and we managed to overpower them, and we brought them as captives. We brought these prisoners to you." Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the prisoners, the captives, "Did they invite you to Islam?" So they confirmed, "No, they didn't tell us anything about Islam and just started fighting with us." So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba that escort them back and send them back to their locality. "You didn't invite them to Islam, send them all back." And where were they coming from? From that locality, that area where Lat and Uzza, the main idol, stood. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the hukam and the command, send that entire all the captives back. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse of the Quran, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira." Explaining to the Sahaba that I haven't come here to capture, to kill, to destroy. My job is to bring people towards Allah. "Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira." Commentators of the Quran say that on the day of Qiyamah, just to mention about Shahid, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bear testimony not only for his ummah, he will bear testimony on behalf of every Nabi that will be there on the day of Qiyamah. It is mentioned in the tafsir that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam will mention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh my Allah, I called my people layla wa nahara, falam yazidhum du'ai illa firara." That I invited them towards Islam. I called them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they refused to accept. Besides that handful of people, they refused to accept. So the people will be asked, "Why did you not accept the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salam? For so many years he invited you." Because of the severity of the day of Qiyamah, etc., the people will refute that claim and say, no, he never invited us. We don't know anything about da'wah. He never invited us at all. So then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be brought and they will give witness. So the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam will ask them that, "How do you know? You were not even there. You came many, many years after us. How do you know? How can you give witness?" So then they will say that our Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had informed us because he was the witness to. And he will stand witness because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that regarding all the prophets of before and the effort that they had made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Mubashshira wa nadhira," the giver of glad tidings, the warner, the one who is calling towards Jannat, the one who is warning you with regard to Jahannam, wa da'iyan ila Allah, and the one that is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa da'iyan ila Allah wa sirajan munira, and he is the one which is the illuminated lamp. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word lamp and didn't use the word sun, because a lamp is where you can go with it wherever you want to. You can put it on whenever you want to. You can use it wherever you want to. The sun you got no control over. The lamp you have a control over. So any person that accepts the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them such light, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and nusrat will be with him at all given times. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites these verses of the Quran and he mentions to the Sahaba that send them back. Let them go. You must first invite them towards Deen Islam. And then only can you attack them. Then only if they refuse and they become a barrier towards the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the right to fight them. In another incident mentioned, these all incidents are mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba as well, that when Alexandria was conquered, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the Amir of the Jamaat. And when Alexandria was conquered, he wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, explaining to him that the king of Alexandria has now succumbed, has given up, and he's prepared to pay jizya. And also the question was, what should we do with all the prisoners that are in our custody? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote back and he said that rather than taking booty from the people, it is better that they pay jizya. It will benefit the Muslims. But present to the king of Alexandria and say to him that we will release all your prisoners on one condition, that we will give them the choice of Islam. If any prisoner accepts Islam, then he will be like the rest of the Muslims. He will enjoy the privileges of the Muslims and the same conditions will apply to him that applies to the rest of the Muslims. And if any prisoner out of his own free will wishes to go back to Christianity, wants to go back to his religion, then he will have to pay the jizya like everybody else and the rest of the people. So the king agreed to it. He agreed to it and he says, "It's a fine, it's a good proposal." So Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala now collects all the prisoners which were the custody of the Muslims. On the one side are the Christians and on the other side are the Muslims. And each prisoner was presented with Islam. Each prisoner was given the option. The Sahaba explained. The Sahabi Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala bin Zubaydi radiallahu ta'ala, he explains and he says that when a prisoner chose Islam and he refused to go on the other side, All the Sahaba recited takbir so loud, Allahu Akbar so loud, that he says our takbir was louder than when we conquered Alexandria. That is how elated and excited they were that a person now chose Islam over kufr, and they were so happy with it. Then he says when a person chose Christianity and wanted to go back to his old religion from amongst the prisoners, the Christians used to make some funny noises. But here this Sahabi, now listen to what he says. And he explained, he says, we were so grieved. We were so grieved. This is a prisoner in the hands. He wasn't a Muslim in the first place. But for that period of time, because we have to understand, when Alexandria was conquered, a letter was sent to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then a reply came back. It took a couple of days by the time the letter reached there. Then it took some time when the letter came back to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala. In that period of time, the prisoners were watching all the actions and the amals of the Muslims. They were watching what the Muslims, tilawat of the Quran, as mentioned also in Hayat al-Sahaba, many of the kuffar bear testimony to the ibadat and the sincerity of the Sahaba kiram. So they lived with them for that period of time and perhaps enjoyed a beautiful treatment from them. So he says that when they were going across, the Christians were making their sounds because of happiness that is coming over onto their sides. But the Sahabi says that the grief we experienced at that time was as though we have lost one of our men. It was as though we have lost one of our men. This was the worry and concern for the hidayat of mankind that they had. It wasn't that Islam was spread just by the sword. Islam was spread by... No, they had this worry and concern, this fikr. And then he goes on further to say there was one person from amongst them, his name, who is referred to as Abu Maryam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was standing there, opposite is his family members, his father, his brother, etc. They're waiting to see. He was given the option of Islam. On this side, the Muslims are there. He's given the option of Islam. And perhaps he hesitated or whatever it was he was thinking. They are waiting to see what his decision is going to be. And then he opts for Islam. He opts for Islam. He said the father and the mother or the other family members that were there, they pounced on him. They grabbed him and they tried to pull him onto the other side. They even tore his clothes. They even tore his clothes. But the Muslims, according to the condition, was that if the person wants to accept Islam, he will go onto our side. So they took him away onto our side. And they said Abu Maryam eventually became a leader from amongst the Muslimin also, from amongst his people also. So this was the fikr, the worry and the concern. Hazrat Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from the Banu Thaqif tribe. From the Banu Thaqif tribe. That same tribe that hurt Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Taif, put so much of difficulties and atrocities upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tortured him when he went to give them dawat in Taif. So he says that eventually, this was after the conquest of Makkah, etc. He said, it came in my heart that I should accept Islam. There was a battle that took place. Perhaps it was the battle of Hunain. And after that battle, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning to Madinah Sharif. And Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says that I followed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I went to him and I said to him that I want to accept Islam. I want to become a Muslim. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him recite the Shahada. After that, he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I want to go back and give my people dawah to Islam. I want to invite them to Islam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, your people, they will kill you. I had experience with them. What they did to me in Taif, we just finished off with a war with them. You are going to go back and give them dawah. He says, no, they love me to bits. They love me to bits. In fact, the riwayat says, in Hayat al-Sahaba is mentioned, that they love me more than virgins. That is how much they love me. I'll go and I'll give them dawah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, if you want to go back to your people, give them dawah to Islam, by all means, you go back. So this Sahabi goes, and he goes, he stands on the balcony. There's different narrations. He stands on the balcony of his home, and he starts to give them dawah towards Islam. See, once he starts giving them dawah towards Islam, they all pounce on him, and they began to beat him. According to some narrations, they shot arrows at him. And eventually, he succumbed to the wounds and he became shaheed. It is reported his family members, his clan, they came and they even said to him that if you have to die, we are going to take revenge on so and so because they took the most active part in hurting you and hitting you. So he advises them and he says to them that please don't hurt anyone on my behalf. Don't kill anyone, don't fight, because my people, they don't understand and they don't know. Allah should guide them, and he says that please don't fight on my destiny. So even stop them from that, and eventually he became shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that this sahabi passed away and he gave his life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his status is like the status of Sahib Yasin, who Habib Najjar, the one who is mentioned in Surah Yasin, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. See, the same status he will enjoy like that person who is mentioned in Surah Yasin, who came out to stop the people from killing the prophets, gave them dawah towards Islam, and they hit him and beat him to the extent that he lost his life. But as he was leaving this world, he was making dua for his people. And he was saying, Allahumma hdi qawmi, Allahumma ghfir qawmi, that, oh Allah, forgive my people, for they don't know, they don't understand and realize. So we won't go into that incident, we don't have the time. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person, Urwa bin Mas'ud, will enjoy the same status as Sahib Yasin. 2 months later, the entire Thaqif tribe comes to Medina under the leadership of Abd Ya'lil, one of the leaders of the Taif. And then they come with a delegation and they accept Islam at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at the fikr of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the worry and the concern. The very same people that tortured him and put him through the most difficult time when they stoned him in Taif, etc. They come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they put certain conditions. We won't perform salah, we won't give zakat, and we won't do this, and we won't go into jihad and fight on yours or whatever. They put certain conditions. So the aspect of zakat and the aspect of jihad, etc., Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with regard to that, okay, we'll give you concession. But with regard to salah, we cannot give you any concession. That you will have to bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they accepted. So some of the sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you giving them concession on the faraiz of deen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, wait. When they accept iman, and when they come into the environment, they themselves will stand up. They themselves will start giving zakat, etc. And it is reported in the riwayat that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst this delegation was camped in Madinah Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every night used to go and speak to them. The sahabi explains and he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand for so long and address that crowd. Used to stand and address the crowd for so long that he actually had to hop on his feet. Because of the lengthy period that he was standing on his feet, that he had to like support himself on one leg and then support himself on the other leg because of tiredness. And eventually, that very same clan became the stalwarts of Deen-e-Islam and those that stood up for Deen-e-Islam. So this was the fikr, worry and concern, hidayat of mankind. Hidayat of mankind. Mankind must come onto Deen. So this is the fikr and concern that we need to create within us. Let us read the lives of Sahaba Kiram. Let us read about the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see what was that motivating factor which changed the life of an entire nation. Entire nation that was lying in total darkness. It was that fikr, worry and concern for the hidayat of mankind. So in keeping with this, inshallah, there will be an ijtima on the 25th, 26th and 27th of April in Stanger. We all should postpone everything. In fact, the Easter weekend is coming. And give that time to your wives. Give that time to your wives and tell them, Istima weekend, we don't want to hear nothing. You see, unfortunately, most of the men folk, when it comes to weekends, they got no say in the matter. Their plans the whole weekend has been already planned for them. So when it comes to this Istima, we must postpone every other plans of ours and ensure that we are there at the ijtima, inshallah, and let us give dawah to others also towards this ijtima, because the entire maqsad of the ijtima is the fikr for the hidayat of mankind. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.